Well, good morning, everyone. I was kind of letting everybody get parked around there. Everybody's moving in here at the last moment, but that's okay. Man, beautiful day. Amen. Man, I tell you, God has blessed us again, and it seems like we just, every Sunday, we've just had a window of opportunity to just go ahead and have church. And so I thank the Lord for that, and it's good to see everyone here today. I see Kyle. She's got her little one with her today. She can't hear me. She's not listening. But so if you see her, the little redhead, cute, yeah. So, but it's good to see everyone here again. And we have a few announcements. Jesse's going to give us the announcements. She's getting really good at this announcement thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for volunteering.
Yeah, thanks.
Good morning, everybody.
I don't think my mic's on.
Your mic's not on?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's on.
Okay. I still am not hearing myself. Okay.
There you
go. So, this week, it looks like Bible quizzing will start on Wednesday, September 9th. They will be studying the book of Exodus. It'll be on Wednesday nights at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall and Sunday nights at 5 in the Fellowship Hall. And then it does have their CDC guidelines will be followed. So Saturday, September 26th, we're going to have another grocery giveaway. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to noon.
Woo! Woo!
If you want to buy food for the bag, you're more than welcome to. Or if you want to just give a donation, you're more than welcome to do that too. It looks like they do ask that the donations or the food be dropped off at the church by Wednesday, September 23rd. Tomorrow the church will be closed due to Labor Day. And then nobody is going to be allowed to park in the parking lot tomorrow or Tuesday because we're getting the parking lot resealed. We're still taking donations for the new chairs in the sanctuary. If you do want to donate to that, if you'll just mark your check or your envelope that says chair so we can put it in the appropriate account. There are board meetings Thursday, September 10th in the Fellowship Hall. Sunday school board at 6, church board at 7. Happy birthday to Conrad Shepherd, Alicia Murphy Davis, Blake Edwards, Charlotte Fuller, Rebecca Fuller, Belinda Hickam, Nathan Vincenzi, William Dixon,
Wild Will,
and Lily. And then happy anniversary to Daryl Marie Mal, Leonard and Connie Sallard, and Jared and Aaron Berry.
Oh, my turn? And also, in your bulletin, you'll know that last week, Robert Papa passed away. And so if you get an opportunity to talk with Kathy, just give her a call. And just wanted to let everyone know that as well. So good morning. I'm glad to see everybody here today on this beautiful day, and we're just going to praise and worship our Lord and Savior and honor Him today. And so I'm so glad to see everybody. I love this day. So
there's a happy land of promise over on that great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing His praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing his praises. Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land. No more burdens there will be to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. We will shout and sing his praises. Everybody will be happy over there.
Break.
There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing his praises. Everybody will be happy over there.
Amen. Well, I like that. Everybody will be happy. You ever wonder, you know, we live in a world where it seems like people don't know what happiness is. And but I know that when you're with Christ, when you're living with him, he brings happiness to your life. He, you know, because we know we have a place where we're going to be happy there. Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took on the offer of grace he did proper, he saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure. there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. Amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. You are good. Good, oh, you are good, good, oh. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart,
the shadow where I hide, the ransom
for my life. Oh, He is my song.
Good,
oh, you are good. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. You are good,
good. Oh,
you are good, good. Oh, you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good,
good. Oh,
you are good,
good. Oh,
you are good,
good. Oh,
is God good to you today? Would you like Him to be good today? Just open up your hearts and let Him in, and you'll see how good, good God is. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for being here this morning, Lord. Lord, I just ask this morning that you guide and direct everything, Lord, that you guide my words, Lord. Let this message be heard, your message, Lord. Lord, I surrender myself to your service, Lord. Open up our hearts and clear our minds that we may receive it. Lord, I praise you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. Amen. Well, Labor Day weekend, what better place to be, right? Amen. Amen. I hear a lot of talking, a lot of chattering going on out there. Must be good stuff. I'm just joking. Uh-oh. Ain't no crying. Ain't no whining. Amen. Oh, man, I hope y'all had a great week. I tell you, it's been an interesting week for me. But it's been a good week. I was thinking this week, I told Leanne yesterday, I said, I've been struggling a little bit with my message this week because what I thought I wanted to preach and what I've been working on all week just didn't seem quite right. It just didn't seem quite right, you know. And so sometimes we go through those struggles. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, what's going on here, you know. And I prayed about it. And I felt that he wanted me to go ahead and preach. He said, just go ahead and preach your message. And so, you know, sometimes I think the Lord, he puts a struggle in us sometimes so we'll get on our knees and just pray. And I think sometimes that's all he wants us to do. He wants us to communicate with him. And sometimes I find myself wanting to do things my way. I want to, you know, when I get to studying and things, I just get into the Word, you know, and I love reading and studying. And so I research things and words and things. And you know, sometimes I get caught up in that. And I spend a little less time on my knees, because I'm so caught up in my study. And sometimes I think the Lord just says, hey, wait, take a break. You need to get on your knees and pray this one out. And I believe that. And so I felt comfortable after I just spent some time outside Friday night around the fire table. We got this little table out in the backyard, you know, and I can push a button and it lights up, you know, and it puts out this pretty flame. And I just sat out there and just thought how great God is and what he's done in my life. The things he's done for me when I didn't deserve it, you know. And so today, if you have your Bibles or your apps, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Jeremiah. And I'm going to read this morning. So Lord, bless me as I read. Lord, guide my words. They're your words, Lord, not mine. So, Lord, just let us hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name. Chapter 18 of Jeremiah, starting in verse 1, it says, this is a word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in its hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the Lord of the Lord came down to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hands, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will repent and not, I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you, a plan against you, a devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. Listen to this morning. We will continue with our own plans. That's what they said, but in reply, verse 12, but they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nations who has ever heard anything like this. A most horrible thing has been done by virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Does its cool waters from distant sources even stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways. In the ancient past, they made them walk in byways, on roads not built up, and their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn, and all who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies, and I will show them my back and not my face. And in that day of their disaster, they said, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah. For the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. So come, let's attack him with our tongues. Pay no attention to anything he says. Stop right there. Wow, powerful, powerful message from in this book of Jeremiah. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. And what did he do? He listened. He listened. And Jeremiah was obedient, and he goes to the potter's house. And then, when we read in verse 3 there, he says, so I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel, but the part that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Hear these words this morning. You know, Jeremiah had a relationship with God because he heard and communicated with God every day. And that's so important. That's what I was getting at before when I prepare a message. If I'm not in direct communication with the Lord, then I'm working on my own and it doesn't work very well. I have to be in communication with God to hear from Him. You know, Jeremiah, he was obedient and God said, go, and he went. And he told to see the potter, and when he got there, the potter was at the wheel and the clay was in his hands and was marred, and he was shaping as it seemed best. I love that. Jeremiah was attentive. He was looking. He was watching. He was paying attention to what God wanted him to see. Sometimes I think we need to do that. We overlook that sometimes. We don't pay attention. We're not attentive to what God wants us to see, because we're always looking at what we want to see. You know, most messages start, some of you have probably heard this message before out of this text. God the potter taking the hard shaped clay and making something beneficial out of nothing. You know, we serve a mighty God, a great God, a big God that can do anything. He does all things. The Scripture says all things are possible. All things are possible with God. You know, this is about God. This text is about God molding, shaping, correcting nations on the wheel, the nation of Israel. But, you know, we're much like that nation of Israel as Christian followers today. There in verse 5 it says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does? You know, we have to realize that God has the ability to change nations if they are willing. You will always fall short of thinking if you don't realize that God can do something amazing and spectacular in your life. God wants to shape you and mold you into something spectacular. The potter controls what he does with the clay, so the Lord is sovereign over the people of Judah. You know, picture this, the potter, you know, if you ever watched the old potter's wheels, you know, where they're sitting down and they use their feet to turn the wheel, and they're sitting there turning the wheel, you know, and as they got their hands on this ugly, messy looking piece of clay, wheels, you know, legs just going 90 to nothing. Got the clay in her hands, and he's working hard to work that clay into something. The clay was marred, it says. And when you look at the Hebrew word for marred, it means to be ruined. Wow. Man, that just really hit me. The flaw was the clay and not the potter's skill. The potter had all the skill, but it was the clay that was marred, that was ruined, that was ugly. There was a story that I read by an unknown author. I don't know who wrote it, but it's just a little story about a grandfather and a grandmother who were in a gift shop looking for a gift for their granddaughter. And suddenly the grandmother sees this beautiful vase and shows it to his grandfather, to the grandfather. And she says, "This is perfect. This is the loveliest vase I've ever seen." And at that point, something kind of crazy happened. And just like in the movies, the vase says to the grandparents, the vase speaks. It says, "Thank you for the compliment, but I was not always beautiful." Instead of being surprised at the vase, they just kind of was taking it all, and so they listened. And the grandfather said, "What do you mean you were not always beautiful?" The vase said, "Well, once I was just an ugly lump of clay, and one day a man with wet, dirty hands threw me on a wheel and started to turn me around, and then he poked me and he punched me and he made me dizzy and he just kept doing this over and over. And each time that I thought he was done, he would start again. And then he did something worse. He put me in a furnace. And I got hot until I couldn't stand it anymore. And I said, 'Please stop, please stop.' And he said, 'Not yet.' He took me out of the furnace and then he began to paint me in the fumes. I just couldn't hardly take the fumes and I could hardly breathe. And it made me feel sick, and I asked him, 'Please stop.' And he said, 'Not yet.' And when I thought he was done, he put me right back into the furnace again. And it was really hot. And finally, he took me out of the furnace, and he let me cool. And a pretty lady put me on the shelf. And when I saw myself in the mirror, I was no longer ugly. It was then I realized that all the pain was worthwhile. Without it, I would be ugly. And it was then that all the pain took on a new meaning. The pain had passed, but the beauty had remained." This little story, the problem was not in the potter, it was in the clay. And what God can do for a nation, He can do for us as individuals. He can mold us, and sometimes we go through a process. Sometimes we go through pain and hard times, and we go through the fire. We go through all these things in our life, and we don't understand it. But the whole time, if we're with Jesus, if we're with God, God is molding us into who He wants us to be. He takes us from an ugly, messy piece of clay to something that is beautiful and different. And unique. No two pieces are alike that the potter turns. Maybe similar, but never the same. The nation here, Israel, may decide to turn their back on God, but God will still take some willing, marred, ruined clay and make something beautiful out of it. In verse 7 there it says, if any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on its disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and it does evil in my sight and does not obey, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. Hear those words. The nation of Israel reflects our individual relationship with Him. There is no question where our country today is headed. Amen? There's no question about that. It's not just the threat of overseas or Russia or China or ISIS or Iran. It's not only that. It's really more of the immoral behavior that's bringing us down. And I think every one of us knows that. We see it. In that fact that at one time we lived our lives according to God's standards in this country, and we cared what God thought. We cared about what the value of human life was. And we become desensitized nowadays about death, about the sanctity of human life. It's not about color, race, creed. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ and following His will. And this country has gotten way, way, way from that. I'm glad I can be around a body of believers who believe the same way. We put God first in our lives. Amen? We see the immorality. We see the threats. And the threats are more so internal than they are external. Today we are a nation that is hell-bent down the path of destruction by disobeying God and turning our backs on the things of God and what God wants us to do. And just like God wanting to show Jeremiah that the potter, the creator, God Almighty, is still wanting and able to make something out of this ruined, marred clay if we are willing to let Him. And He wants to speak to us today. You know, we have to stand strong as a church. We have to stand strong in our views. Amen? We have to be the light in a darkened world, because if we start turning our back on God, then the world, this nation, will just get worse. We have to be the ones that stand in the gap for all the others. What can we learn from this potter? What things do we learn? What things in our lives need to change? Until we learn that God can change nations. Man, He puts nations in power. He takes down nations. He rose up Babylon. He said, I rose up Babylon to take over. He did that. We have to realize that God is in control. And if we don't understand that, we know we fall short in believing that He can change our lives even. So many people walk around in misery. Spiritual misery is what I call it. We can be afflicted on the outside, but they walk around in spiritual misery because they don't realize that God is in control and God is who changes our lives. You know, the flaw is in us, the clay, not the potters. The problem is in us and not God. When the process is reversed, it is when we see terrible things happen, whether we are talking about whole nations or individual lives. When God is not directing it, terrible things will happen. Let me tell you. Listen, as believers, when we do not allow God to hold us, to mold us, to make us as He seems fit, it is rebellion and it will be dealt with one of these days. all of us will have to stand before Him. And He'll deal with them because He is a just God. And a just God will give us what we deserve. Yes, He's loving. You know, society says that self-determination decides our fate. If we choose our own path. Listen, I mean, that's we teach our kids that, right? That's what the world teaches. Choose your path and you're on, you know, basically you're your own God and you're the own director of your life. You can be whoever you want to be. You work hard. If you're determined, you can be whoever you want to be. But what about what God wants you to be? But as a behavior, we choose to allow God to take that ruined, marred clay. If we were just willing to do that, to let God take this ruined, marred clay and make something unique and special with it. That's what God wants to do for us. It's your choice. You decide. You choose. It's your choice whether you want to stay on the spinning wheel or get off of it. Now, some people don't believe that, but it is true. Every time it seems like it gets a little hard, people want to get off. Want to go back to their old ways, start doing the old things they used to do. Just because it got a little bit hard. By our own choice, God is the designated driver. I thought about that. God is the designated driver. And when we drive, we drive impaired. We're impaired drivers. We know we shouldn't be driving. But we got to let God be the designated driver in our life and drive us where we need to go because we know that He's going to drive safely. He's going to drive us where we need to be. And if we drive, we drive impaired. We might be off in the ditch somewhere. We might be running, you know. Come on now. That's where we have accidents and we make mistakes. Because we don't see clearly. We're not thinking clearly. We're not driving like we should. Some people like to jump off when it gets painful. But just let God restore you as a marred piece of clay. Let Him restore you and make something beautiful out of your life. Listen, the moment you made Christ your Savior, He became the potter and you're the clay and God wants to make you into something beautiful. And you gave Him permission to do that, to mold you and make you what He desires. Just think, if you'd never gave your life to Christ, where would you be today? If you'd never made that choice to let Him work you, mold you, and make you. And I want to say this morning, if by choice you've gotten off the wheel, if by choice you've pushed Him out of the driver's seat, just saying, let God back in the driver's seat. Get back on that wheel and today'd be a great day to do that, wouldn't it? Amen. What better day than to just give your life back to Christ or give your life to Christ? Beautiful day. Amen. You know, I know that some of us have hurts and that we have had for a very long time and some we don't even know how to live with or deal with in our lives, and we've had them so long, we just don't really, we try to shove them aside, we try to shove them on the backside so we can try to forget about them. But today God wants to speak into those issues. I believe that, and His desire is to let you know that no matter how corrupt this world is, no matter how bad you've been hurt by this world, you know, you may have made some bad choices, that He has not given up on you, and He never will. God does not throw away the marred clay. He takes this disfigured clay and He will make something beautiful out of it. And God redeems or buys back broken pieces. Listen to that. We keep thinking we have to fix it ourselves, and we can't do that. You can't fix it yourself. We're the ones that are broke, and it is only our Creator, our divine Creator, that can fix what He created. Amen? Think of it like that. You can't fix it, but He can. He wants to redeem you and fix the brokenness in your life, and He wants to make you whole again. The world throws people away when they're broken and used up, but God repairs and He restores those who are broken. When others say that you're not worth fixing, God keeps trying to get you to that wheel so He can mold you and fix you and repair you. And the devil wants to condemn you and cast you out, make you feel terrible about what's going on in your life. And God just says, man, just jump back up on this wheel and let me take care of it. A vessel has to have value, has to be functional, and has to be used. That is what God desires for each of us today. You know, and I used to have a big wood lathe, and I would spend hours in my shop turning wood, making little bowls and making little things out of the old, knotty, ugly pieces of wood. And I would take them and I would shape them and keep working at it until I would make something out of it. And sometimes those ugly, the most ugly, twisted, knottiest piece of wood made some of the most beautiful things. The most beautiful pieces that I ever made was not made out of the perfect, was not made out of the straight. It was made out of those ugly pieces of knotted up, twisted wood. That's what God does for us. We're like that ugly, knotted, twisted piece of... That's what we are. But God takes that and He just throws it up there and He just makes something. He works it and He makes something beautiful out of it. Most of us, if we were honest, have had several times in our life that we've needed God to restore us, to repair us. And I've been there. But God restores us. When He does, He gives us value. He gives us great value. And I want to say this morning that all of you have great value, because God has done His mighty work. And when He does, He makes a masterpiece out of it. Broken people look at others and think that they have it all together, and they don't. And so many people in this town and in this nation, they are marred, and they need to be repaired. They need to be restored. They need God to mold them and make them. Man, I can think of so many people right here in our community that they would just jump up on that wheel and let God make them, mold them. They need to know that God is the potter. And if we are to become something of value, we need God's help, because we cannot do it on our own. God is the potter and we are the clay, and God specializes in brokenness, and God is our help if we'll just let Him. And there's some things, let me tell you, there are things that God cannot do. Do you know that? There's things that God can't do. I'm going to tell you what they are. God cannot leave you or forsake you. You're His child. And it may feel like it at some times that you feel like you're alone, but let me tell you, God has not forsaken you, and He never will. God cannot stop loving you. He does not approve of what you do sometimes, but it does not stop Him from loving you. But He does give us a choice. God cannot forget you. He won't forget about you. You may be one in a million, one in millions. None of us are the same, but God knows each and every one of us because He made us. He made us special with value. And He put us down here in this world just like we like to put knickknacks on a shelf. And He knows each and every one of us. He can say, I know when I made that one. I know when I did this. I know when I did that. And I know, isn't that so beautiful? He looks at that. He looks at you the same. God doesn't make losers, only people that allow life circumstances to make them feel that way. God doesn't make you a loser. You make yourself a loser. God is the best at taking marred up, junky old things and making them beautiful. Another thing that God cannot do is God cannot be unforgiving. He can't be unforgiving to someone who is asking for forgiveness, because He's just to forgive us. You know, God does not throw the clay away. He wants to make something beautiful out of it. And you know, we can only take this analogy, I guess, of the clay, because the clay is an inanimate object that God loves and cares for people. That's what we got to learn out of this. You have value. Look at the person next to you this morning and look at them and say, listen, God loves you and you have value, and He wants to make something out of you. Amen. With God's help, we can become a beautiful piece of art. And guess what? He's not finished with you yet. Amen. He's going to keep molding you into something beautiful. And just remember that. God is going to make something beautiful out of you if you just let Him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You this morning. I thank You for this word out of Jeremiah, Lord. Let it be burned into our hearts, Lord. Lord, You're the Creator. You mold us. You make us all that we are. Lord, and I praise You in Jesus' name. I've got a song this morning. And if there's anyone here this morning that needs to be restored, that it maybe have gotten off the wheel, that you don't feel like that you're fully restored. Maybe you feel like you're an ugly piece of clay. I'm just asking you this morning that right where you're at, just bow your heads this morning and just let Him jump back up on the wheel. Scoot over in the passenger seat and let Him be your designated driver. Amen. Have Thy own way, Lord. Have Thy own way.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is now. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Amen. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Lord, we just thank you again today. Lord, thank you for such a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity. Lord, just pour out your Holy Spirit upon our lives. Lord, just mold us and make us into what you want us to be. And that is a beautiful piece of art, a beautiful masterpiece that has value and that is worth something. And I know that one day, Lord, after we go through all this spinning and turning and molding, and after we go through all these things, when we see you face to face, we'll see our Creator. Lord, I just thank you again. Lord, I pray for this nation that they turn back to you. Lord, help us be a guiding light in our community and in this world. As we leave here today, keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming this morning. I hope you have a blessed day, a blessed weekend. I know many of you are off tomorrow for labor, for the holiday. And so I hope you all have a safe and blessed week. And I'll see you again. Remember, services on Wednesday night. We've been having a good group on Wednesday night. And so come join us there on Wednesday. We've been meeting in the sanctuary and having great, great service. And then also our Bible study on Friday.